looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Spas, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Swung on, there it goes, deep left center. It is high, it is far, it is gone! A three-run home run for the Sanchino. Oh, scary Gary. It's a three-run blast in the deep left center field seats. And the Yankees take a 6-1 lead.
Do you think that one's landed yet? I'm wondering, like, has that home run that Gary Sanchez hit to blow open that game on Saturday night, has that one actually touched down anywhere? Or is it still bouncing on, like, 93 or wherever it is by now? What a freaking smash that was. I'll tell you, I've seen some long home runs at Fenway Park. That one, right up there. Right up there. Red Sox and Yankees, game three tonight. 617-779-0985. I'll ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart, if he would. Open up the phone lines right away, Jimmy. Let's open them right away, because I think people have something to say. It's just a hunch. After that, over the weekend at Fenway Park, Friday and Saturday nights, games one and two. I want to go through them here, but let me just say quickly, the Baseball Reporters Playoff Edition is presented by Budweiser Boston. This Bud's for you. Again, 617-779-0985. Red Sox have made a couple of changes going into Game 3 tonight in New York. So, you know, actually, let me just touch on those quickly so everyone's aware of, excuse me, what they are. Because I think a lot of people theorized them, speculated that there would be changes, that Brock Holt would be in the lineup, that Rafael Devers would be in the lineup, and the reality is both of those guys are. Okay, so your lineup tonight in New York, in Luis Severino. Betts in right, Benintendi in left, J.D. Martinez is your DH, Bogaerts is at short, batting cleanup, Devers is fifth, playing third base, Pierce is batting sixth, Holt, Vasquez, Bradley Jr. Pierce is in the lineup because Mitch Moreland still has a bad hamstring. Excuse me, but I was at a concert last night, what can I tell you? So I'm grinding a little today. But nonetheless, the Red Sox have altered that lineup. The offense is part of the problem here. Okay, yeah, the Red Sox lineup that led the majors in runs scored during the year is part of the problem now because they're not scoring runs either. But there's your lineup. Mitch Moreland apparently is available off the bench, according to Alex Cora. As for Holt and Devers being in the lineup, here is what the manager said, and the answer really should not surprise you.
The guy on the mound has to do a lot of it. You look at the numbers and they don't look great, but if you look at his numbers throughout his career, lefty have done better against him. He's still a tough matchup, but the way Brock was swinging the bat, we do feel that he can put good at bats against him, and you know, hopefully he can hang and slider to Rafi, and he can put it into the stands, you know.
Okay, so really, that's it. Basically, the manager's saying there, I'll take my chance with lefties against Severino, which I don't mind. To me, that's the right approach, especially at third base, because frankly, the defense from Rafael Devers to Eduardo Nunez is not that much better. You don't get that much better defense with Eduardo Nunez at third as you do with Rafael Devers. Devers is a risk to chuck one somewhere. He is. Fact. The Yankees have the same problem. You know what they do? They start Andujar, and then they put a defensive replacement, Liv Hecheverry or Hecheverry, I can never pronounce it correctly, but whatever, they put the defensive replacement in the game late. The Yankees have the same issue with third, but they go with offense. And so you know what? I think in this ballpark against Luis Severino, you go with the offense. Maybe Devers hits one into the seats. And as for Brock Holt at second base, I never understood why the Red Sox had to acquire Ian Kinsler in the first place. I felt like Holt was good enough. I never wanted Kinsler. I thought that was a waste. I would have rather had the relief pitcher. If you listen to this show, you know that. But I don't want to spend all the time on the lineup. Nonetheless, couple of tweaks in there. Devers is in. Holt is in. Third base and second base, respectively. I should also mention Christian Vasquez is in, batting eighth. Sandy Leon's on the bench. But honestly, on that one, I really don't care. Either way, I prefer Leon. I think Leon's a better catcher. But it's not a deal breaker for me either way. Okay? 617-779-0985. Now, as for the weekend, let's start in game one. Okay, let's start there. I mean, there were really just some basic elements to the game. Starting pitching this weekend, at best, you get a D+, C- maybe. Sale was good, not great. The next person who tells me that Chris Sale was great, I don't want to say I'm going to hang up on you because obviously I'll listen to you. Chris Sale was not great. He went 5 1/3 innings. He threw the ball well. I was happy to see the velocity. He also faded a little bit more quickly than I thought he would, and he still only threw 93 pitches. So he's not anywhere back near where he was in the middle of the season. David Price on the second night, disaster. Disaster, as we all know. You can set your watch by that guy in October. I mean, Murray, it really is unbelievable.
Yeah, but predictable, too. I mean, unbelievable and like just how ugly it can get.
But
and that was the lowest of the low on Saturday, but really.
The predictability of it is unbelievable. It
sure.
Is what I mean.
You'd expect something a little bit more than that on Saturday, but I don't care how good he's looked from the All-Star break on. The guy never, ever shows up when this team needs him the most in the biggest games.
I mean, it really blows you away. It blows you away to the point where on Saturday night, you actually start feeling badly for the guy. I mean, I know I did. I sort of looked at it and said, oh, my God, you can't get out of your own way. You cannot get out of your own way. And we just played it in the final word. You doing your imitation of him on the mound. He's having a nervous breakdown out there.
It really does. It looks that way. And the pressure, I would think, would be off considering they actually won game one. You know, if they were going into that down 0-1, okay, like I would expect what ended up happening on Saturday, the pressure should have been less. And that's rock bottom for him, what happened in that game.
How do you feel about the bullpen?
Oh, they're just as bad as I expected. You know, that was brutal on Friday night. They almost blew that game, which I thought was a really good start for Sale. I'm with you. I don't think it was perfect. And people saying, oh, he's back because he threw his first pitch was 96 miles an hour. Hey, maybe they goosed the gun a little bit like you suggested they do late last week. But they got what they needed out of Sale, and then they almost gave it right back because that's what they've been all year.
I mean, you got a combined 7 innings out of your 2 starting pitchers. Combined 7 innings. Not good enough, folks. Not good enough. Okay? And I know a lot of people want to leave Sale out of the discussion. Don't leave Sale out. Because if Sale is at peak form, you might be able to get away with some of the other stuff. Sale's not at peak form. I'm not saying you should blame him. I'm just saying that overall, the idea that the performance was great is wrong. It wasn't great. Number 2, the bullpen, F. F. And I'm counting Eduardo Rodriguez. Fail. Craig Kimbrell was good after the home run to Judge. And I was happy to see it. But the fact is, and the home run that he gave up to Judge was more Judge than it was about Kimbrell. Because it was a breaking ball middle in that Judge hit out to right field at Fenway Park. That's just a great hitter doing great things. And the next 3 at-bats, Kimbrell was dominant. Dominant. So I'll give Kimbrell that. The rest of them, fail. Complete disaster. Defense, fail. The defense has sucked. Save for a play or two. Maybe I'm being a little too harsh. How about D for the bullpen? And the lineup, other than the first inning, what have they done? J.D. Martinez had a 3-run home run in the first inning of game one. Since then, all the way around, you've gotten your ass kicked. Now, despite all of that, I don't think it's over. The Red Sox have played badly in these 2 games. And it's 1-1. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, says they should be down 2-0. He might be right. I think they actually led the game throughout in game one, so it's hard to say they should have lost it, but they wanted to lose it. So now you look at it and say it's 1-1. If you can win one in New York, you're okay. I just think the first one's going to be easier to win than the second. But I'll tell you what, I want all of your thoughts. Because I know a lot of you are more agitated than I was over the weekend. Dylan's in Worcester. Dylan, what do you got, pal?
So, guys, I know it's been said before, but I think it bears saying again. Without one of the biggest front office gaffes in recent memory by the Red Sox we could have had John Lester starting that game, game two, instead of David Price.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, Dylan, I agree. Dylan, I agree with you, but focus on the Price part of it for now.
Well, just how differently does this team look in the postseason if you have John Lester as your number two starter?
Okay, but we're now three years into Price. And again, it struck me too when Lester was blowing people away in the play-in game. The Cubs ultimately lost that one. It would look very differently. It would look very different, but the situation is what it is now. It's been that way for 3 years. John's in Malden. John, go.
Hey, Tony, I'm sorry. Comments and a question. The Yankees are going to finish them off in these two games. They're obviously the better team, but I got a question for you. What do you think of Aaron Boone pulling Tanaka that early and his philosophy that they were all set to go to the bullpen? This idea that we're going to take these starters out early and go to the bullpen, what I thought was way too soon. Too few pitches, too early in the game, and the score was like 3-1.
Okay, so John, look, get used to it. This is the way baseball is now. These guys are getting hooked earlier and earlier, and they're not lasting. You want to talk about quick hooks? Let's talk about Price. Holy crap. Felger made this point on the afternoon show, and it's a good one. Alex Cora had less faith in David Price than anybody. He couldn't get out there fast enough to get Price off that mound. It was only 3-0. It was the second inning. Your starter had only gone 5 1/3 the night before. He had every reason to leave Price in that game. He also could have done it from a standpoint of, you know what, we're up 1-0. I'm going to need this guy later. I got to let him work out of it. If we get killed, we get killed. I just need to see if he can find it. He didn't do it that way. He couldn't get him out of there fast enough. I am surprised that so many of you think the Red Sox are done, like Suzanne and Woburn. Go ahead, Suzanne.
Okay, Matt, the last time we talked, you told me I was broken, and you're absolutely right. You couldn't be more right. But this is why I'm broken. Saturday night, they played their last game of 2018. They're done.
At home, you mean. They're done. At home.
Their last game. Their last game of 2018 at home. Yep, they're done. They're not going back to Fenway except to clean out their lockers.
Okay, so look, again, I'd love to disagree with you. I can't say that you're wrong. Let's see what happens. I think they got a little more in them than this. I think they've got more in them than this. This is like role reversal night, apparently, on this show. Because I'm usually the one telling you they're not as good as you think you are. I'm telling you right now, they're not this bad. It's unbelievable, though, that as soon as you put this team into October, they turn right back into what they've been the October the last 2 years. It's now 2-7 in October. For this group, over the last 3 years, 2-7. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, do you think they're done?
Yeah.
I don't. I think the offense is going to get out of this funk. I actually think that they win tonight, and then they end up forcing.
Well, tonight's the one that's going to be easier, I think.
They're not getting the Chris Sale. Unless he's coming out of the bullpen tonight, which he won't.
And I get accused of being negative. Jimmy thinks they're dead and buried. He said they should be down 2-0. They really
should be.
It's really a sweep, Murray. Murray, does that game
gentleman sweep?
Does that game one win get an asterisk?
No,
that's a legit one?
Yes.
Okay.
Even though that J.D. Martinez home run was very close to being a big single.
Gentleman sweep for the Yankees.
There you go.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Matt Barnes, Heath Henry, Doc Joe Kelly, and those other guys.
It's time to spin the wheel of gutless bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high leverage situation late in the game? Now, let's spin the wheel.
And today's gutless bum is the jackpot of Sox.
The Yankees' primary goal is to get into that bullpen. They have finally done that, and now it'll be Ryan Brazier.
One swing of the bat could flip this game quickly, and that's a base hit inside the bag. Hits the sidewall. Gardner stumbles around third, but he'll score easily.
Workman comes out for the seventh, gives up back-to-back hits. The Yankees back in business now. And there is Barnes.
Ground ball. Nunez to second. Out. Throw to first. Not in time. A run will score. Crowd does not like this move right here. They think Porcello can get through it. The manager feels otherwise, and he's going to bring in his horse, his closer, asking four outs of one of the game's premier stoppers. Kimbrel is in, and Judge rips one right field. Long way to go, Betts. He's at the wall, and she's gone. Aaron Judge with a solo home run. It's a one-run game.
In some ways, Friday night was actually worse. In some ways, it was worse. They should have rolled in that game. They were out early on top of the Yankees, smothering them. Fenway Park was alive, all of it. And in some ways, it was worse because once they went to that bullpen, everybody knew. We all knew. We all knew it was a disaster waiting to happen, and incredibly, they avoided it. That thing was a fire drill on Friday night. Game one of the postseason. Game one. They had to go to Rick Porcello in the eighth inning. Game one. Like, you want to go back to 03? I made the comparison, and I'll get right back to your phones. Just bear with me for 1 second. But I compared this team to 03 earlier in the year, and I said they have an offense that's resilient, that wins games in spite of the bullpen, just like 03. Just like 03. The 03 offense was actually even better than this. And then their bullpen caught fire in 03, but the manager was traumatized. Somehow they got through the first series with Oakland. Derek Lowe had to close game five. But by then, you know, they had played four games. This was game one. Rick Porcello had to come out of that bullpen. Game one. Already thrust into a state of anarchy out there. They need to, the Reds, you can't win this way. I don't think. I mean, if they do, it'll be borderline unprecedented. And part of the reason they had to go to that bullpen so early is because Chris Sale didn't get deep into the game. But Casey in Boston, apparently, I don't think blame Sale for that. Go ahead, Casey.
Yeah, I think that's totally on Cora. Sale came out there. He's pitching a great game, setting up his strikeouts. His velocity was all right. But, you know, leaving Sale in that sixth inning, that's how you avoid the gutless bums. I mean, Brazzer, he looked like Helen Keller out there trying to find the strikes on him. It was ridiculous.
Okay, so Casey, you do realize, though, that Sale had allowed the first two guys in that inning to reach.
Absolutely, yeah. I would much prefer him in there with the two men on.
Okay, and you know what? I shouldn't say the first two because he did get an out in there. Okay, he did get an out in there. I personally, I'm not shocked that Sale came out of that game. I was a little, but what it told me, you can blame Cora. I'm not telling you you're wrong. What it told me is that they know Sale isn't right. And they're worried about Sale being able to power through stuff. During the regular season when he was healthy, no way they take him out of that game. No way. With their bullpen, not in a million years. But now, 90-some-odd pitches, they didn't want to push him too hard. And this is one of the things I was worried about. And I was saying to you in September, if you're a Red Sox fan, Sale's behind schedule. They weren't able to ramp him up like they wanted. It took too long. And so he's now a five-inning pitcher. So add that on top of it.
So did you question that at the time, though? Because I was okay with it, because he threw like 25 pitches in that first inning, and it was 93, I think, overall when they ended up pulling him.
No, I was okay that they pulled
him.
You
were okay.
Yeah. No, I was. But again, because I didn't think he was as far along as everyone else did, Murray.
Yeah.
You know, people looked at Sale and said, well, he'll be all right. He'll come out 96. He'll throw 100. He didn't get to 100. He gets to 93, and he was in the, you know, he had just started the sixth. So he really pitched five and a third, but it's five plus. He didn't go six. He didn't make six. And that's another problem. Now even your ace can't go deep into the games. So the Sale games aren't going to be Sale games anymore. You're going to have the relievers throwing as many innings as he is. I mean, that's just a dangerous way to live. Mike is in Wellesley. Mike, go.
Hey, Maz, I was at the game on Friday, and it got really quiet when the bullpen came into action, and it was kind of scary being a part of that whole crowd.
Well, with good reason, yeah.
It was elation, and then it was like scariness. But I wanted to talk about the home run with Sanchez the other night. That thing was a bomb, and I couldn't believe that it went over the right side of that light tower and just kept going. And I didn't know where it landed.
So, Mike, yeah, listen, I'll tell you, to me, that's one of the hardest places at Fenway Park to hit a home run. is between the flagpole and that light, you know, the scoreboard area there and the flagpole and that light tower. It's one of the hardest areas to hit a home run. You have to crush that ball. You have to crush it just to get it over the wall, let alone to get it over everything and out of the ballpark. The only home run that I can remember like that in 40 years is Jim Rice hit one back in 78. Okay, the year that Rice won the MVP and had 400 total bases. That ball that Sanchez hit was crushed. And the second one. And for all of you who wrote off the Yankees early in the year, I warned you about this. The series here in August, no Judge, no Sanchez. They have homered four times so far in this series. And to me, one of the things the Red Sox have to do with Sanchez in particular is they got to come, somebody's got to knock his ass down. Because someone's got to knock his ass down. Because Sanchez in that home run against Sale, or Price rather, reached out over the plate and jacked it into the left field seats. If he starts leaning over the plate, forget it. You're never going to get him out. Matt's in a car. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, what's up, Matt? How's it going?
Good. What do you got?
So right now, I'm a little nervous because you got to use Price. He's got to come out of the bullpen either tonight or tomorrow. He's going to make an appearance. And when it comes down to it, you got to get a lead. You got to jump on this guy, Cervino. He's been pretty shaky when it comes to Red Sox starts, and he's been very shaky coming the second half. So I think the lineup tonight is really, really good. I like how they moved Pierce a little bit down. It's perfect. You're going to obviously come in with Moreland in the defense later on in the innings. But I'm just worried about them getting like a 3-2 lead and Evaldi coming out in the fourth inning and Price having to come in and actually stopgap a game. I mean, this guy is paid $35 million a year or whatever it is, he's going to have to come into factor eventually for this series in order for you to win. And I'm nervous that he's going to come in and poop his pants like he always does.
Okay. Okay, so look, with regard to Price, it's an interesting question. Does he have to pitch again in this series for you to win it?
No.
In fact, would you say the opposite, Murray?
I don't think not as a starter. You might need him out of the bullpen.
So I'm talking about out of the bullpen.
Oh.
I don't think there's any chance he starts again in this series.
Well, good. Yeah. I think you can still skate by without him. Granted, one of those other suck bags will have to be better than they have been, whether that's, you know, Brazzers or Joe Kelly or whoever it happened to be. But I think you can still ultimately win this series by mashing your way to winning it more than anything else without David Price's help.
So, look, the Red Sox have some pitching decisions to make here going forward. We'll try to examine them when we come back because, to me, the idea of pitching David Price as a starter in this series, that's out. Out. The only way to pitch him now is as a reliever. The question is when and where, and can you even do that? And the really scary part about Friday night in that bullpen performance, we'll get to that, too, after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The 0-1. Swung on and ripped to deep left field. That ball is going to be off the wall. Torres scores. It's a ribby single off the wall by McCutchen. The Yankees take a 3-0 lead.
And this is ugly as David Price leads here, the booing here.
Home runs are bad enough, but the two walks at the bottom of the order against Torres and Gardner just can't happen.
After we won game one, you know, to go out there and have that opportunity to go up 2-0, you know, and to throw the baseball the way that I did, you know, it's definitely tough. But you know, my spirits are down, my confidence isn't down. You know, I'm looking forward to getting back out there and getting another opportunity.
His spirits aren't down, his confidence isn't down. Mine are. I don't know about the rest of you. I was telling Murray this during the break. I don't think I believe in them. I know a lot of you will find that stunning, but I just the games like that, going into the postseason, I thought, okay, let's see what it looks like. And even Friday, it was a high wire act, but they won the game. And if Price comes out and pitches well, and maybe they get a half decent bullpen performance, I say, okay, well, here you go. Maybe they can actually do some damage this year. Price goes out and gets boxed in the second inning the night after the bullpen lives on a wire the whole night. So I don't know how you sit here and say you have faith, because I don't. But at the same time, I look at them and say, of course they can win it. day-to-day baseball in the postseason literally changes on a pitch. The whole thing can change. We've seen it a million times. So it can change. The question with Price now is, when do you use him and how? Like, and those are sort of the same thing. You can't start him in this series. If you lose tonight, I don't think you can pitch Chris Sale on 3 days rest. Maybe I'm wrong. But Murray, do you think he's an option tomorrow night on 3 days?
No.
Jimmy Stewart, do you?
I think he should be, but he isn't.
Okay, see, I don't think he should be, and I don't think he is.
And the only reason why I say that, Tony, is because last year, and I understand health is a variable here, Sale threw 100 pitches in game one, came back out of the bullpen and threw 77 in a relief outing, which Farrell left him in too long. So he's done it before in the postseason.
Okay, so, and look, I just don't like the history of it. Most guys who come out on 3 days don't last. And then on top of it, you have Sale's recent injury history. So I don't think he's an option. So David Price, you would say, well, maybe you get him against a lefty batter in a key spot. Right now, the only lefties in the lineup for the Yankees are Gardner and Gregorius. Everybody else is right-handed. Okay, so you're not going to bring him in to face Sanchez, Stanton, Judge. No way. So you'd say, okay, what about Gregorius? Gregorius kills him. Gregorius' career average against Price, 371. Brett Gardner is 269. So I don't even know if there's a good matchup in there. Maybe there's a place you can't use him at all. And I'll tell you what, let me take a couple of calls, and then I'll tell you the thing from Friday, the bullpen game, that should really scare you. We'll get to that in 1 second. In fact, really, it should terrify you. Chris is in Worcester. Chris, go.
Hi, Tony. How you doing?
Good.
Good, awesome. It's a bat now. You know, yes, we'll bat the bullpen, but 1-for-7, Mookie and Benintendi were 2-for-something. What do you think, bats? Should they get going? Thanks for taking my call.
Well, yeah, Chris, of course they should get going. I mean, they need offense, too. They really haven't scored since the first inning of game one. So the offense is a little bit of an issue, too. But again, as a Red Sox fan, you tell me, what's your level of confidence right now? Because the part that should alarm you about the weekend is that the games were in Boston. That's the part that should alarm you. David Price was out there with a 1-0 lead against a home crowd. And Friday night, the relievers went to the mound with a lead here. Here. Imagine what it's going to be like in New York. And Alex Cora was actually asked about this before game two. Jimmy, is a question in this cut too? Okay, Cora was asked this before game two and how important it was to win that game. And here is what, just listen to the exchange, and because the manager really volunteered this information.
How important would it be to go up 2-0 against the Yankees?
It's very important. We haven't lost a playoff game in a while there, huh? I mean, the three wildcard games, and they swept the Astros last year. So it's a tough place to play. Last year, that place was alive, you know, like the fan base. We played like 4 o'clock games or 5 o'clock games. Since 3 o'clock, it was loud from the get-go. So I know the rivalry and everything, you know, we play some games there and it's being loud, but nothing like the way it's going to be on Monday. So it'd be good to go 2-0 there and take 3 shots to win one.
So that's the manager of the Red Sox saying, ideally 2-0, and then we get 3 cracks to win one game. 3 cracks. A team that won 108 games during the regular season, the manager saying, give us 3 shots to win one. And what he's really saying is, I don't know if we can win down there. I'm not sure. Remember, Cora was the bench coach for that Astros team last year. A Houston team, by the way, that won the World Series. And the Astros went into New York and they really crapped their pants. Houston, the team that won it, crapped its pants. What do you think the Red Sox relievers are going to do there in a big spot? It's going to take a major, major turnaround for them to be able to pitch well in New York in the next 2 nights. Major. And I'm not sure they can do it. I'm not sure Cora believes they can do it. I'm starting to wonder about that. Bob's in a car. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, just calling to let you know about I think Price should go in the bullpen, but based on your numbers, I'm second guessing that. But I don't think you should pitch a starting role the rest of the season. I can't stand the fact that the Red Sox are actually tightening up at the plate. Last year was kind of scary. This year is scary. Only J.D. Martinez is the only guy who came through. And I think the guy in left field that caught that ball in the left field wall should come and play third base. He's probably better off than the guys you got there tonight.
Yeah, so, Bob, look, yeah, the defense at third, to me, there's no point in having a guy there who you think is a better defensive player if the defense isn't really that much better. The defense with Nunez is not that much better than it is with Devers. It's not. It's bad either way. So you might as well get a guy who can hit the ball out of the ballpark, and they're doing that tonight with Devers. Holt is also in the lineup as well.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.